blessing upon Helen as she shares with us now. Amen.
Well, it's great to be with you this morning, and thank you for inviting me. I wonder how many of you enjoy waiting? And I guess the answer to that question really depends on what you're waiting for. Are you excited for Christmas morning and want it to come quickly? Or are you perhaps waiting for the answers to medical tests that you're a bit anxious about and you just want to keep putting that time and day off? Or if you're like our eldest daughter, who's hoping to get married on the 7th of August, she's desperate to know if the wedding restrictions are going to lift even further so that she can plan one of the, what she hopes is going to be the happiest days of her life. And we've all had to wait a little while this year, haven't we? In the last 15 months, we've all had to spend time waiting. And some of us are better than others. And as we've read in our reading this morning, or as we've heard, the disciples are asked to wait again. And I just want to put that into a little bit of context of where they found themselves. So basically, in the Gospels, we see that Jesus was with them. He was ministering to them, teaching them how to be disciples. And then he was ripped from them, crucified, and died. And for many of the disciples, they were in shock. They'd expected this king to come through and overthrow the government. And there he was, gone. And so what did they do? Some of them denied him, and others fled. And as we saw, or as we can read in the Gospels, Jesus finds some of them after he's risen from the dead. They've gone back to what they know. They've gone back to their safe places of fishing. And it says in our reading today that he spent some time with them after his resurrection. He kept appearing to them over the 40 days. And then we find ourselves in Acts, and all of a sudden, he's taken from them in front of their eyes. Just as they'd got used to him being back around again, of life being back to how it used to be, with Jesus fully present with them, he's then taken away again. And then the penny finally drops. He's not going to be with them forever. Everything that he said is true, that he wouldn't always be with them, that they're going to have to do this without him. And this time there's little emotion. He's taken from them in a flash, but not before he gives them an instruction. And in verse 4, it says that while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. And this is when they're faced with a choice. Do they go with their gut instinct as they did before and go back to their safe places of earning a living through fishing or what they know, carpentry? Or do they trust the man who had proved faithful in the past? They could wait. They were perhaps a little unsure and unsettled. Things weren't panning out as they had expected. And yet, in this time, they had learned to trust Jesus and the Father who had sent him. Jesus had taught them many things, and they knew that he was a man of his word. He told them all that was going to happen. And whilst they faltered a little time during the 3 days he was dead, they know now that he was a man of his word. But how could they cope without him? How could they continue his ministry when he was no longer with them? The promise of the Father. On Father's Day, how lovely is it to hear that the Father is going to give a gift. You see, Jesus was never going to leave them alone, and he never leaves us alone. They must wait patiently for the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was very clear in verse 8 that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them, and that the reason for this power was so that they could continue his work and the work of the Father. this power wasn't just to sustain them, to keep them happy, to keep them in the life that they'd become accustomed to, but it was about enabling them and equipping them to go out. And he said, you will be a witness to the truth of the gospel in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So I wonder where we find ourselves today. What are we waiting for? A new job opportunity? Perhaps you're waiting to meet the person of your dreams, to have the child you're praying for, to pass the exams that you're facing or that you've just taken. How good are you in the waiting? And what do you do in the waiting? You see, it's much easier for us now. We can see the whole story. When the disciples were with Jesus, they didn't know how it was going to end. They had to trust him. And what they did was go on the experience that they had of him. The fact that he was a man of his word, that he loved people, that he welcomed people. I wonder how good we are at remembering the times when God has answered us faithfully. How good are we at journaling and looking back so that when we're faced with another time of waiting, when we're faced with an unknown situation, we can look back and remember how faithful Jesus has been in our lives. God has given us the power of the Holy Spirit. Each and every one of us can access that gift. There's no hierarchy, it's open to all of us. And we can trust that God is who he says he is. He wants the very best for us. But we might find that sometimes difficult to recognize when we want something so passionately. We can have faith in the promises. That's why it's so important that we read scripture, that we pray together, that we worship, so that we can get to know God as Father who loves us and wants the best for us. And so my message this morning, I guess, is that there can be freedom in the waiting. We can be free to relax and know that God is in control, that we serve a faithful God, that it's okay to have to wait sometimes. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that this is always easy. It can sometimes be very painful. And perhaps our instincts do tell us that it's safer to retreat to whatever our fishing is, whether that's trusting in our own strength or somebody close to us. But we need to push into God, into the dark places, the painful places, and allow ourselves to be vulnerable in this safe space of church family. We have the opportunity to ask others to pray when we have perhaps lost the energy and passion to do it for ourselves. And when we've learned to do that, we need to go back to what Jesus said here in Acts, that you will be my witnesses. We need to take every opportunity to introduce others to the God who we have found to be faithful, to the God who loves us and loves them, and who desires the best for them and invites everyone into relationship with him. We're all called to be witnesses. And yet we can't witness to something we haven't experienced. So it's in that trusting and in that faith that we can grow so that we can share what we've experienced. So take a moment where you're sat now, just to remember and savor where God has been faithful. Hopefully you'll have many occasions that you can draw on. If some of you are sitting here and wondering, I'm not sure I've been introduced to that God who is faithful, take a moment now to ask himself to reveal himself to you. God is who he says he is. we can trust him to be faithful. He died for each one of us. And in this hurting world, more than ever now, we need to extend that invitation of love and grace to others so that they can see it too. There's no doubt that in the past 15 months or so, we've all lived in difficult times. Some of us have lost loved ones. It's been difficult and painful for the majority of us. Some of us have had to wait a long time to see friends and family, to have the life that we once knew. Some of us are still waiting. And the question is, where has God been in all of this? Have we been able to trust that he is still sovereign, that he is still God in this time of waiting? Or have we sometimes perhaps faltered or despaired? Have we pushed into his presence, or have we retreated? And as we look around the city of Exeter and beyond, to those that we come into contact with, seemingly hopeless, living without the knowledge of God, have we taken the opportunity to introduce them to the God who is faithful, to the God who actually revealed that life isn't always going to be easy, but that he is always going to be with us through his Spirit? Statistics tell us that the majority of non-Christian people with a Christian friend are waiting for them to talk about their faith. But statistics also tell us that the majority of Christians don't talk about their faith with their non-Christian friends because they don't want to offend them. There's a little bit of a mismatch there. And I think there's a real opportunity in the times that we're living in, when people are asking, what is life all about? Where is there hope? There's a real opportunity for us to say, this is where my hope is. Let me introduce you to the God who is faithful. So as I end, I want to ask you two questions. Do we trust God enough that he will come through for us and through for others? And who are you going to start a conversation with this week? Who would relish the opportunity to be introduced to this Jesus that's so clearly active in your life? Chris.
Thank you, Helen. Let's just reflect on what Helen has